at this text and considering it, especially in our day, it's necessary to consider this and to know this and to do it, not just to know it, but to do it, to rightly divide the word of truth, to be a workman, to study to show thyself approved. Now, the word of the gospel, the truth, it bears fruit. It bears fruit. The word of the truth of the gospel is bearing fruit, is bringing forth fruit in all the world. That's what it's doing. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, as we already heard, that you are begotten again by this word, yes. By the word. You are begotten again. You are born again. That's what that means, to be born again by the word. The word entered you, and it brought life unto you. It brought you to life. It quickened you, so to speak. That's what it did. You were brought to life by the word. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, Paul said things like, you know, he was bound. He was in chains. He was in prison. But he said things like, but the word of God is not bound. The word of God is not bound. It is not. There's no hindrance. There's no boundary. There's nothing keeping the word of God back. It's God's will. It's God's word. It's what God says. He spoke into the darkness and brought light. There is no boundary to the word of God. Nothing can prevent it. So even though Paul was in prison, he was bound, he was tied up, the word of God is not so. Now, God, also Paul's concern, as he wrote in a few places, he said things like, it's his desire, his concern was that the word would have free course. It would have free course, that it would go throughout freely. Now, the word of God, as we already considered, I don't want to go off too far from my text in this, but I just wanted to stir up your mind in remembering that the word of truth, the word of God, the gospel, has the ability to bring life. It's done this great work that God has spoken and he's created. God has spoken and he's brought you life. God has spoken and what he speaks, he's bringing it to pass and he's doing it. And it's according to his will. And this, the word being spoke had a great, from the very beginning, God speaking has had great effect on everything. He's brought things to pass just by speaking. Now the truth, however, is against the deceiver. It's against him. The word of truth, the gospel, was progressively undoing the things that Satan did in the garden. What Satan did in the garden, the gospel is coming and undoing it. It's uprooting what he planted in the garden, so to speak. And so Satan's not going to stand by and just watch this happen. I want to talk briefly about the deceiver, the serpent, the liar. He's waged war against the truth, and he's done it from the very beginning. God spoke, and then from the very beginning, he's been waging war against the things God has said. And he's been attempting to undo those things. And he succeeded with Eve. He beguiled Eve in the garden. Now, Satan doesn't want people to believe or obey the truth. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to believe and obey the truth. But he's okay, and he has no problem getting you to believe a lie. He is called the deceiver and the liar for a reason. That's what he does. That's how he's defined. That's his character. It's who he is. I speak these things as warnings, as to stir up, to bring sobriety into our minds. These are serious matters, as the brother already spoke on. He is called the deceiver. Therefore, there is a war against the truth. Satan has waged a war against the truth. And according to Satan's working, we find in our day, as Paul did in his day, false teachers. There are false teachers in these last times, deceivers who have gone forth. Paul was dealing with false brethren who have privily came in to spy out our liberty in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage again, to bring us into bondage. Those that preach another gospel, let them be accursed. The brother already spoke on this, but I say, as Paul said, let them be accursed. Amen. They're already accursed, so just let them. Let them be accursed. They're false brethren. That's what they are. Paul called them false brethren, so let them be accursed. In other places, he says things like, they zealously affect you, but not well. He also spoke of people being zealously affected, but in good. But here he also said, zealously affected them, but not well. It's not well when we're affected by falsehood. They spoil you. They spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4, he that saith, I know him, I know God, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So you can hear what they say, but you also want to observe what they do. If they keep not his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Don't give him ear. Lying is according to the old man and his deeds, the scripture says. That's what lying is. It's according to the old man and his deeds. So new men, new creatures, those who are born again in God have no business lying, because it's not according to that nature. So if anyone is lying, they're lying according to the old man in his nature, in his deeds. Now these are the effect of giving yourself to false teaching. And those who give themselves to a false teaching are weak. And they're unlearned and they're ignorant. We're talking in this text, we're going to get to it, we're talking about a workman. We're talking about studying to show thyself approved. We're talking about rightly dividing. See, that takes maturity. That takes discernment. And so but there is this danger of being affected by false teaching. There's danger. It's harmful. There's eternal consequences. You can be given and put back into bondage, as Brother Mike already talked about. Bondage, slavery, being a slave to things. Particularly, going back to the law. You will be hindered when you give yourself to false teaching. Hindered. That means you are walking in faith and you are making progress, and then you can be stopped in your tracks by false teaching. They beguile you with enticing words. Be careful how they speak. They can be enticing words, but at the same time, they will beguile you. Your faith will be overthrown. Remember those who had their faith overthrown. Some had their faith overthrown. We overcome the world by faith, and yet some have their faith overthrown. This is a dangerous matter, to have your faith overthrown. The hearers of such things will be subverted, hurt, hindered, overthrown. This could cause you to not come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul, writing to the Galatians, spoke of them being bewitched. You will be troubled. Troubled. Even in your spirit, you could be troubled by these things. You could be troubled. It's a kind of persecution against the church of God, against the people of God. That's what false teaching is. It's a persecution against the church of God and God himself. It's an attack. It's not accidental. It's intentional. It's intentional. It's a orchestrated, purposeful attack from the wicked one himself. And yet, some can be pawns in this. Maybe even not even aware of there being pawns in this strategic attack against God and against his church. They seduce you. That's what they do when they come and they teach false things. They seduce you. Paul, writing in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, "In the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy." In the last times, this will happen. In these times, this will happen. Now, I want to draw your attention to the spiritual aspect of this. Seducing spirits. He doesn't say seducing men. He says seducing spirits. And doctrines of men. Well, there is that too. But here he says doctrines of devils. And they speak lies and hypocrisy. Now, this goes beyond just men. See, our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It is against principalities and powers. That's what the warfare is. And so when you find these false teachings, it's not from men as far as origin. It's from the wicked one himself. Amen. But there is warnings like, let no man trouble you. Let no man trouble you. Now, I wanted to set that first. I wanted to go in that direction because you find Paul, and he's writing to Timothy here. That's the context. He's writing in the context of things like, let me get there. He's talking about vain babblings, subverting the hearers. And then he says things like, study to show thyself approved unto God. Now I thank God for the Spirit of truth. He teaches us all things. God did not leave us in the world on our own to figure it out. He's given us the Spirit of truth. He's put the Spirit of truth in us. He's given us the unction. He's given us the anointing. He's given us one who will teach us all things and lead us in truth. And if you're if you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And the Spirit is testifying of Jesus. He's pointing us to Jesus, who is the truth. And the Spirit himself is the Spirit of truth. That's who he is. He's the Spirit of truth. And so God has given us the Spirit of truth. Now the Word of God is the weapon of choice when it comes to the Spirit of truth. It is the sword of the Spirit. It's His weapon. It's not our weapon to fight with on our own. It's the Spirit's weapon. It's His weapon, although it is given to us as well. So I want to talk about rightly dividing the word of truth. Dividing. That word in this place is very intriguing. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You think of cutting, you think of separating. When you think of dividing something, you're going to separate and divide. Cutting in a straight line. Other translations say things like handling, accurately handling the word of truth. Discernment is what I think of. When I think of rightly dividing or accurately cutting or handling, I think of discernment. You are discerning. You are making a straight line, a straight cut. This is rightly dividing the word of truth. Now I think of remember in Hebrews, Paul, he's talking there about skillfully, being skillful in the word of righteousness. He's actually there talking about how they weren't skillful because they were as babes. You need to go back to the milk of the word. They weren't skillful, but we can also draw from that the need to be skillful in the word of truth, in the word of righteousness, being skillful. See, to rightly divide requires a skill. It is a skillful matter to rightly divide the word of truth. So what is one of the things I was considering here is dividing and separating and cutting straight and making a straight cut, accurately handling the word of truth is kind of that separating of the word of truth and the vain babblings. The word of truth and the doctrines of devils. The word of truth and separating and making the distinction between that and seducing spirits. It's a matter of making the discernment between the word of truth, the good, and discerning that from the bad. This is what the word of God does. It's the word of God is quick and powerful. It is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's not like a two-edged sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God itself is a discerner. The word of God itself is a divider. The word of God itself is one is sharp and cuts straight and true. Think about that with the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is a part of the armor that is given to us. It's there. It's for us. And the sword of the Spirit is one that you can fight and wield. It must be done accurately and rightly, though, skillfully. The sword of the Spirit, as I said earlier, that our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. The sword of the Spirit is not to cut down men. It's to cut down principalities and powers in high places. So to rightly divide the word of truth is not a matter of going out and learning all the false doctrines to where you can make the distinction. Rightly dividing the word of truth requires knowing the truth. It's like, how can you test the spirits to know if it's of God if you don't know God? See, that requires knowing God to see if the spirit and to test to see if the spirit is actually from God. It's the same with rightly dividing the word of truth. You rightly divide the word of truth. You accurately understand it and are able to apply it and use it when you know it. When you can actually know the word of truth. I have a few examples that came to mind as I was considering this rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember when Paul was dealing with a situation in Corinth? Someone came in. There were some there who was speaking and telling the people in that place that there was no resurrection of the dead. That's a serious matter. The gospel of truth was under attack. The gospel of truth war was being waged against it. Somebody was coming in and telling them there was no resurrection from the dead. And so Paul rightly divided the word of truth when he said, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. See, that's what it looks like to rightly divide the word of truth. When somebody comes in and says, there is no resurrection of the dead, a sober mind, someone who's thinking with the mind of Christ, somebody who has who has this discernment of both good and bad, who can rightly divide the word of truth, can reason this out. That's like a summary of what Paul says in all of 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sin. See, that's just reasonable, sound thinking. But it's foundation in the word of truth. That is the word of truth, that Christ is raised from the dead. And if that's true, then your faith is not vain and you have hope. You see how there was an attack on the people there? See how that could overthrow your faith? That could steal your hope when somebody can come in and say, there is no resurrection from the dead. See, a rightly and accurately assessed person can come in and divide that from the word of truth. It's separating. It doesn't belong. This is out of order. It doesn't mix with the word of truth. It's against it. Another one is, if you recall, the early Christians, the Jews, were having an issue. They didn't know what to do with these Gentile Christians. What are we going to do with them? We don't know. We don't know how to deal with them coming in. Do we make them go back to the law of Moses and keep that? Do we circumcise them? What do we do with the Gentile Christians? And everybody had their own ideas of how to deal with them. It was like a fog was over the place. Nobody knew, or a lot of them didn't know what to do with this, how to deal with them accurately. This is such a great concern that they formed a council in Jerusalem, if you remember. They brought everybody together in Jerusalem to address this issue. There was a great need for clarity. That's what they needed. Amen. They needed clarity. They needed somebody to speak up and say something that would completely clear the fog and just make sense of the situation. Well, James accurately divided the word of truth and made a clear cut. He made a clear cut. Him and Peter and Paul and Barnabas, they brought clarity and understanding that very day. Amen. The truth was rightly divided in at the Jerusalem council. Remember, Peter got up and he spoke of his experience on the top of the roof with God and the unclean animals. And then he spoke of the receiving of Cornelius in his house. And then Paul and Barnabas spoke of all their experiences in the around them concerning their dealings with the Gentiles on their travels. And then James got up and he spoke of what God said about the Gentiles and salvation from the Scriptures. James rightly and accurately divided the word of truth. He gave an understanding in a place where there was a need. He cut straight lines. He discerned it. Remember Peter on the day of Pentecost and the others. They were there and then the Spirit came down and they were speaking in tongues and others were observing this time. And some said they're mad. Others said, well, they're drunk. See, there was confusion. What's going on? This isn't normal. This isn't right. People don't just do this naturally. What's happening? Are they drunk? Well, Peter accurately divided the word of truth when he went back and he said, this is that from the prophet Joel. And he spoke of how the Spirit would come upon all men. There was a need for clarity. There was a need for understanding. And he rightly divided the word of truth when he brought out the Scriptures. He brought out the word of truth. He pointed them straight to Joel and said, this is what's happening. This is what we're doing. This is what God has done. He sent his Spirit. This is what you're experiencing here today. This is why we're speaking in tongues. This, and then from there he preached Christ. Remember when Stephen was going about and he's working all kinds of great and miraculous things and preaching the truth and the people were opposing him. But they couldn't. They were not able to resist his wisdom and the power of the Spirit that he had and that he spoke with. They couldn't resist him. Why? Because he was accurately dividing the word of truth. And if you recall, that's when he went through and they brought him up and he just went through their history. He told them about what God was doing through the people and how they were sinners from their history. And he preached Christ. And then they gnashed their teeth at. They were pricked to the heart by the word of truth. They were pricked to the heart, it says. It says the same thing on the day of Pentecost. They believed. Here they were pricked to the heart and they stoned him. They gnashed their teeth at him, threw him out of the city, and they stoned him. But in all these cases, and there's more, you can go on and on, but I just wanted to kind of give you some kind of taste of what this looks like. In some sense, and these are all different, some of them are dealing with false teaching. Others are dealing with the need for clarity. But it all comes down to rightly and accurately drawing a straight line with the Word of God and saying this is that. But with all these, there's something in common. None of them were fearful when they spoke up. None of them were weak. None of them were bashful in any way. But a workman, we know, needs to not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now all of this comes down to, how can we accurately divide and rightly divide the word of truth? It comes down to knowing Jesus, to knowing him. Now I have this thought here. Knowing the Antichrist is done only by knowing the true Christ. Amen. There are many Antichrists who have gone out. They're saying things like, Christ didn't really come in the flesh. That's how you know the spirit of Antichrist, is when they say things like that, when they deny the true. How do you know the Antichrist? Do you go and study books on the teachings of Antichrist and all? No, you know the true Christ. That way you can discern when you have a false one being preached to you. So studying to show thyself to prove doesn't mean you go out and get all the books in the world about all the doctrines and all the denominations and you study them all. No, you just need to go to one book. You just need to go to the Word of Truth and then accurately divide it. John didn't write about the Antichrist to send us on a search for them. He's actually warning us that they're actually going to find you, in some sense. You don't have to go looking for them. There's also, you can recognize a spirit. It's called the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist. I've noticed this in a lot of preaching that I've experienced over the past few years, in different venues, in different places, there seems to be a spirit there, right? There's like a spirit of truth. Like here, I sense a spirit of truth. Sometimes I sense more of a spirit of error. Remember, John spoke of a spirit of error and a spirit of truth. There's like a spirit behind what's being said. And somebody could actually not be saying something very that's 100% true, but they could still have a spirit of truth in that they're genuine. And yet somebody could be saying things straight from the Bible, and yet there's a spirit behind them, a deceiving spirit, a spirit of error. Remember, so this takes discernment. It takes a wisdom. We're talking about a wisdom here. Remember Aquila and Priscilla? They found a man named Apollos. He wasn't saying everything accurately, perfectly right. He wasn't false or purposely going out and subverting their faith. That he just needed some upspeed. He needed to be brought up to speed. And so there is that wisdom. Jesus is the truth. In him is truth. Grace and truth came by him. And the true gospel is about him. We need to know Jesus. Study to show thyself approved. Study Jesus. You want to know what to study? What kind of hermeneutic or whatever? Study Jesus. What kind of apologetics? What's the best apologetics book? Or study Jesus. Study to show thyself approved. Study him. He's the truth. Amen. When we're talking about the truth, we're talking about Jesus, because he is the truth. So when we're talking about the word of truth, we're also talking about Jesus, because he is the word. And what the word is saying about him. Wisdom and knowledge and understanding are required when it comes to discerning the truth, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and truth. We can truly say that. Remember Paul, he said he was concerned about the brethren, and his desire was for them to know the truth. His desire, as he was writing to various churches, he wanted them to, if so be you have received Christ, or received Christ, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him. Right? His concern was that they would grow in him and know him and continue with him. And you find that over his prayers. You read the prayers that he wrote to the churches. And he said, I've been praying for you, and this is what I've been praying. His desire was that they would have the knowledge and wisdom and be acceptable before God. This is a great concern, a great need. I just want to leave you with this exhortation. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study. I was thinking about this, Hebrews 5 and verse 14, it says, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those that by reason of use have their senses exercised. Having their senses exercised by using it to discern both good and evil. Studying implies a diligence, an effort. This isn't something that just naturally happens. You're not just born again and all of a sudden you just have perfect discernment. You must grow. That's what this is what he's talking about in Hebrews here, is that there are people who haven't grown up. They're not skillful with the word of righteousness. They need to go back to the meat, and he says meat is for the strong, for those who are by able reason of use, they're able to discern both good and evil. Paul wrote and says, don't be children in understanding. Be men in understanding. That's a concern for the brethren. Again, I say, study Jesus. That was life-changing for me when I read the scriptures looking for him instead of looking for me. Study to show thyself approved unto God takes effort. Peter says things like, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Study to show yourself approved unto God. You see how these are of the same spirit? The word of Paul and to Timothy to study tells us that showing yourself approved unto God and rightly dividing the word of truth is not something that just automatically happens. It takes effort, it takes diligence, and it takes purpose. Seek those things which are above. That kind of purpose. A purpose to do these things. And a desire. I'll just leave you with this last word. Brethren, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Let no man trouble you. Amen. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Any thoughts or comments?
I thought about rightly dividing at the feeding of the 5,000, you know, the sense of the Lord with the bread and the two fishes that he divided unto them.
Yeah.
All. So it has the sense of like apportioning, giving out to all.
Yeah.
And apportionment. And then remembering the parable of the prodigal son. Remember when the prodigal had determined that he wanted to leave, the father divided them unto them. I talked about this before, but not just to the son that was living, but he even divided to the son that was saved. He divided unto them all of the living. So, and then think about things like in Jude. Remember, he said, Jude said, on some, have compassion, making a difference. But others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments fired by the flesh. So rightly dividing the truth in that sense, in addition to the senses you've been talking about, has to do with giving the right thing to the right people. So you don't warn people that are trembling and that are repenting of their sins, and you don't comfort people that are sinning.
So amen.
You give the right thing to the right people. So,
amen. Yeah, like the Israelites, they divided the land when they got into Canaan. They divided the land, their portion. It says their portion to the different tribes. Yep. Amen. Brother Mike.
I was thinking about this, everything that you were talking about in this matter of rightly dividing what God in this matter of clarity. It's anchored in the divine principle. This is not something that the apostle came up with. This was something that God had instructed back in the days of his prophets. Remember the prophet Habakkuk? He was going to be given a vision of God. And God's instructions to him with that vision was you write it down and you make it plain. Don't make it simplistic. He's not talking about simplistic. Yeah. The point you're making is clarity. You make it plain. You make it clear. With a purpose. He says that he may run that reader. That the working. This is a divine principle that he's speaking about.
Yeah.
And when it's a divine principle, then there is becoming empowerment for God's people to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
But you made it clear, brother.
You made it plain.
And so now you encourage and empower the saints now to run with it.
Yes, amen.
Praise God. Sister Julie.
Appreciate how you said it. If you want to know the truth, then know Jesus. Jesus said to the Pharisees, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me.
Amen.
Yet you have not come to me that you might have life.
Yeah.
The purpose of God being manifest in the flesh, the purpose of Jesus being the Word of God is that we might know him.
Amen.
That is life eternal.
Yep.
Know thee, Jesus said, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent.
Yep.
So, to search the scriptures to see Jesus, like you said.
Amen.
It's the way to truth, that's the way to life.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I had two different things. I was considering how, and you're saying how it was the sword of the Spirit divides soul and spirit. I've always considered how that's very, very, in a sense, very difficult because there's sometimes it's very hard to see what's exactly the dividing line. And so when we have the truth, sometimes we have things that might sound like truth, and they may be an error.
Yeah.
Because even if it's very, very close or very similar, you'll be able to have the ability to rightly see what's true. And what's not, because it can divide so closely to those things that might be so close that really aren't true. And the other part I was just saying is, in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I was considering how we would have no direction or ability to know what way to go if it wasn't for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have any truth, any ability to trust in anything.
Amen.
We didn't have him. And we wouldn't have any life, as Sister Julie was talking about, but he is the truth. So if you are studying Jesus, as you have said, you are studying what's true. You are studying what's right.
Yes.
And then in John 8:32 it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Because we know Jesus is the one who makes us free.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
I was thinking about how the word of truth is always active. And the parable of the sower came to my mind. That he was sowing the word, and every single ground that it fell on, something happened, whether for good or bad. None of it just sat there and did nothing.
Yeah.
It all, something big happened. And I praise God that we are given the grace for the word of truth to affect us in a positive way. Amen. To help us increase.
Amen. Amen. Go to the mic.
I really enjoyed how you brought out the aspect of those who are preaching false gospels, another gospel, that let them be accursed. Mm-hmm. Made me think of, what is the wheat to the chaff? I'm sorry, what is the chaff to the wheat?
Yeah.
We cannot be burdened down by all the false things out in the world.
Yeah.
If we focus on Christ and what the Word says, then we will see the end thereof for those who are teaching false doctrines.
Yeah.
So we can't weigh ourselves down because and not allow them to affect us. We've got to keep our, like what did you say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's what we are to look at.
Yeah.
We're not to look at and be concentrating on that which is around us. We concentrate on Christ.
Amen.
And all things will be given to us.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Just think about the Hebrews 4, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As we study the Scripture, it studies us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That is actually how we are able to know our own heart, is by the Scripture revealing what is in us. So it certainly in the Scriptures. We see the world for what it is. We see sin for what it is. We see Jesus for who he is. But the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart is an inward work.
Yeah. Amen.
As you pointed out to Brother TJ, and I think Brother Mike alluded to, you know, it is very unwise for men to subject themselves to error. I mean, even in the name of perhaps understanding it, you know, or, you know, the best way to be perceptive of error is to subject yourself to the truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
I suppose, you know, there is room for, you know, especially those that are leading the flock, you know, they have to know where the enemy's coming from. But I understand that we're not making a legalistic matter out of this, but this has to be, for the average person, it is very unwise to subject yourself, you know, to, you know, ministrations of error, you know.
Yeah.
If you know that it's error, you don't want to subject yourself to it because you'll be defiled. It will have the effect of contaminating you. You know, it will affect you more than you realize. See, that's but we actually are subjective to error more. You know, even as we resist it, you know, we come face to face with it, and we, you know, just in fighting the good fight of faith, we're going to come in contact with error. You know, but to actually subject ourselves to it, you know, to go that extra mile to subject ourselves to it. That's very unwise. That's a very, that's not strong enough to be going to say it. You know, this is not good at all.
Amen.
Yeah, that's very I'll say. It's very good, and what you said is very good. But he said studying show itself approved, but it some people say, well, study what? Like you mentioned. Or we'll study Professor so-and-so or Pastor so-and-so. And that's not what it's saying. If you read the entire context there, what Paul is telling him is that you came from a stock of your mother and your grandmother who believed the truth of the gospel and lived by faith.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that is what you're studying, what they did. They believed Christ, that Jesus was the Christ. And that's what he wants to study. We have another brother we all love that has said this many times. I'm sure it's not a quote, but he says, by the known, and only by the known, can you interpret the unknown. Meaning you go to the Scriptures themselves to interpret the Scriptures.
Yeah.
You mentioned the fog and confusion and the uncertainty that this world presents.
Yeah.
We can only cut that with the word of truth. That's Amen. Why we have to study the word of truth, what God has said, and that yeah. clears all that up.
Amen.
We undo, like you said, undo what Satan has done. Now, we don't do it. I mean, that's what's being done. That's the word of God is done.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.